This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Straight up with no chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
We felt there was depth at this class. You know, I get it if you're going, hey, there's two or three receivers that you'll ever be able to get your hands on this draft. And if you don't go get one of those, you're SOL for the season. And we didn't see it that way. And just, again, it allowed us to fill other holes and find other players that can help us going forward. Yeah.
Matt Parrino covers the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, joins us now in the sports bar. Matt, were you surprised that Brandon Bean last Thursday night traded out of the first round?
No, I don't think I would categorize it as being surprised. I thought as we were moving closer to the draft and all the smoke that we were hearing was that they did want to kind of go up and get somebody that they really had a lot of value on. But I think as the dust has settled here, we've come to learn that they were never going to go up high enough to get, you know, one of those big prizes. And once that became, you know, the case, I think that they did their work on that second tier. And Keon Coleman was somebody that elevated at the top, and maybe there was another guy in the mix there. Maybe they like Xavier Leggett. Maybe had they moved down to 32, Xavier Worthy would have been the pick. Who knows? But, you know, when we heard from Brandon Bean that night, I don't get the sense that Xavier Worthy was really in the cards, because he kind of seemed indifferent about the fact that the Chiefs got him. And to me, that's it too. Like, we have all of this immediate like reaction and shift the narratives in the moment because of where the guy went to. And there wasn't that same kind of energy about Xavier Worthy going into the process. I mean, there's a lot of people. It's why I had him at the Bills trading up to get him at 45 in the second round in my final mock draft, because everybody I was reading thought that he was a second round quality wide receiver, a guy that has a lot of upside, but who is a very small receiver. And I don't think he's got that wide receiver one potential. And I think the more we've learned about Keon Coleman and what the Bills think about him, I think they think that he has that.
Yeah. So Matt, I mean, it's a lot of Bills fans. I'm sure you absorb this. How could you trade with Kansas City? And I'll listen to that certainly, but here's the one thing that I'm curious about. It's not necessarily that trade, the first one, it's the second one. Like, if Keon Coleman ends up being the guy, if he ends up being a number one, then why not just make the pick at 32? Why would you give up that fifth-year option, that fifth-year of control, Matt?
I think it had a lot to do with Brandon Bean knowing who Dan Morgan wanted to come up to get, because there was a lot of noise around that. I'm sure they were having a conversation around that and even mentioned it, right? Like, I made a deal with my buddy. I don't think you make that deal unless you know at 33, no matter what, you're going to get the guy that you want. And I think that's part of it, like just doing the research, knowing. I think Xavier Leggett and Carolina were linked like 2 weeks before the draft was a spot where he wouldn't get past that spot. So when they wanted to come up, maybe that was a player the Bills just weren't as high on. And maybe they had Keon Coleman, Xavier Leggett, and Ladd McConkey all in the same bucket and moving back one spot and getting one of those guys and what ended up being, I think it was like a 55-spot trade up in the from the sixth to the fifth round was enough for Brandon Bean to say, okay, this is it. And, you know, maybe that ideology then or that concept is that the Bills don't view Keon Coleman or anybody that they were going to get at that spot as their number one. Maybe they can develop into that, but maybe they're willing to go into this year and saying like, okay, we're going to figure this thing out. We have Dalton Kincaid. We have Keon Coleman. Now we just signed Curtis Samuel to this big deal. Let's see what this looks like in Joe Brady's offense, get an idea of what our need is at that spot. And if we don't have the wide receiver one on our roster at the end of the year, oh, look at here. We have a bunch of money to spend next offseason.
Matt Parrino covers the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard, joining us in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan. Matt, when they did pick Keon Coleman up, I went back and kind of looked at some of the pre-draft scouting on him. And one of the guys I'm following is Matt Harmon at Reception Perception, who did the exercise of kind of assessing Coleman's traits in college to current NFL players and what their traits were when they were entering the league. And the name that stood out to me that he kind of compared Coleman to, and I think we would all take it if we got this kind of production, would be Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was like below average in a bunch of different fields heading into the draft, kind of like Keon Coleman. But the way that the Lions have used Amon-Ra St. Brown is like this big slot receiver guy, which I don't think right. The Bills are willing to use Keon Coleman as, at least up front or at first. And my concern with the Bills and their current wide receiver room is that you've got a bunch of slot receivers and no true X now with Steph Diggs no longer in the building.
No, I think that's a fair assessment. And I think that when they brought in Samuel, trying to, you know, think through this, where's everybody going to line up, especially with the fact that you have Shakir who played all this slot. You have Dalton Kincaid, who I think can play that big slot role too. Where are all these guys going to line up? But Brandon Bean seems to think that Keon Coleman, he projects more as that true boundary X. And one of the things that I like about him, I think he's a little bit bigger than Amon-Ra St. Brown, so I think that he's got that going for him at 6'3", 215. And it's funny, I've seen some of the comps too, because he ran the exact 40 time to Kelvin Benjamin. These dudes are completely different body types, like completely different athletic profiles. I get that, you know, the 40 time maybe gives you a little bit of pause, but you watch some of those games, like the LSU game. If you go back and watch that on YouTube, you can watch the whole entire game. I went and did that. He brings something that I think projects really well in this offense, and that is he going to be this, like, ultra separator on the outside? Probably not, but he's going to be super feisty and physical with opposing number one cornerbacks. He's there for the smoke, right? Like, that's the phrase the kids say. And I think that they need somebody like that. Watch Stephon Diggs last year. He was the opposite of that. He wanted none of the smoke. You know, when he gets the ball, you know, on a quick slant route, he's like kind of falling down and like gliding or sliding. After two or three plays, he comes up, he's a little out of breath, he calls himself off the field. I mean, this is going to be a complete personality change for this offense, the way Coleman plays the game. And I know a lot of people talk about rack, and like I think there's different kinds of rack. Like, you can get run after the catch because you just get open and then you have a lot of space to work with. I think Coleman could be a rack guy in a different way, in that people are going to have trouble tackling him. So if he is at the catch point and out battles a cornerback, and that cornerback's not strong enough to bring him down, and he can run 5-10 yards after the catch, I think the Bills will take that kind of rack in this offense. And I'm very interested to see what's he going to look like in the scramble drills, because Brandon Bean said that Josh Allen is going to bring the receivers together to work out after minicamp, before training camp, probably somewhere in California, I would imagine. Then they'll have all of the, you know, preseason training camp to get on the same page. If Keon Coleman could really start to evolve his game as a scramble master, if you will, the contested catch opportunities, the highlight reel plays, like, those are some of the things I think Bean is betting on.
Yeah, Matt, I would have thought entering the draft with 10 picks, hey, you're going to have not one but two picks, maybe more, at wide receiver. I was a little surprised that they only went with the pick there at the top of the second round. So how would you assess what the depth is at the position, because there's a lot of people out there saying, you know, this still is one of the weakest wide receiver rooms in the league.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I don't know if I would go take it that far. I think I'm a lot more high on Samuel than most, and only because I thought that the Bills should have really entertained signing him, and maybe they were interested even before Brady was the offensive coordinator a couple years ago when he went and signed with Washington. I think Brandon Bean drafted him. He knows what he brings. I mean, he's got, maybe he doesn't have 4.3 speed anymore, but even if he's kind of depreciated a little bit and he's so he's bringing about 4.4 speed, he is really physical in that short area part of the field. I think Khalil Shakir is on the ascent. You throw Coleman in the mix, and I'm going to sound like a broken record because I'm pretty sure I've been saying this on this show every single week. We are sleeping on what the Bills think of Dalton Kincaid and what the draft world thought about Dalton Kincaid when they drafted him last year. And everybody says, well, he was just kind of ho-hum as a rookie. I'm like, I don't know about that. I mean, he set pretty much every tight end record in an offense dominated by Stephon Diggs from a target perspective. So I think you got to put Kincaid into the mix in terms of pass catchers and what this offense is potentially going to look like. And then I think you look at 17, sitting there counting for $55 million against the cap to raise the profile of that group. And oh, by the way, they're not done. They're going to add somebody else at some point in this process. There is a lot of names, four in particular, that I think fans kind of take a look at these and be like, oh, wait, those guys are still out there? You got DJ Chark, who I've written about a couple of times in free agency, Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Boyd. Those are just three of the names. There's guys that are still out there that can be had that I think could add to this wide receiver room. So I don't think Brandon Bean's necessarily done. He's just going to have to do a lot of late in the season shopping.
There's a guy that the Bills drafted, Matt, and I'm looking at the position he plays. I'm looking at what he could potentially bring to the table. I'm looking at his experience in college, and I'm trying to have somebody talk me out of the idea that he isn't starting at his position as a rookie week one. And I'm talking about Cedric Van Prangranger, the center out of Georgia, 3-year starter out of Georgia, won a championship, has a connection with James Cook. And if you are able to get him on the field immediately and he's able to contribute immediately, you're not disrupting the offensive line the way we thought this offensive line was going to be disrupted when you moved on from Mitch Morse, shifted McGovern to center, and then inserted David Edwards. Am I crazy for thinking that that could be the plan in play here for the Buffalo Bills? Or is that bond between David Edwards and Aaron Cromer so strong that Cromer actually believes shifting McGovern to center is the right move moving forward?
No, I think that you're right on the money. And I think that we have a great recent example to go off of, with Osiris Torrance being the top guard in the class last year, coming in here and earning the job pretty much from the start of training camp. I mean, the first week we knew that he was going to end up being the starter there. And remember now, like it seems like a different world ago, but remember how high everybody was on Ryan Bates going into that camp. I mean, it was everybody thought that Osiris Torrance was going to have to start the season on the bench. So I think that you're right on the money there. I think Aaron Cromer spending all this time with Van Prangranger is something that definitely perked up my eyes when I heard Brandon Bean talk about, you know, the scouting process and him going down to Georgia. This is a Cromer guy, a Cromer stamp guy. I think the Edwards thing is interesting because I think he comes back here. I think that there was some type of conversation after he was the good soldier last year and played that, you know, jumbo tight end backup guard role. I think they told him, hey, come back. We'll get you in the starting lineup. I think he wants to get back to that. But there's also this other piece to it where he had a pretty serious concussion issue a couple years ago. Now, we saw Mitch Morse figure that out, and he played a long time in Buffalo. And really, over the last 2 years, it wasn't really an issue at all. And maybe Edwards could get back to that. And there's a lot of experience with Cromer, to your point. But if you wanted a nice value on a long-term bet there, I really like that action, you suggesting that pick. To me, that's the most, like, under-the-radar, potentially, like, smash of a draft pick from this class. You don't start 3 straight years at Georgia and win 2 national championships without being able to play some ball. And so I think that getting him out there and seeing what it looks like out there, especially if he can kind of jive with Josh Allen early, interested to see what happens.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, yeah, going up against defensive tackles in the SEC. That's not an easy chore. Matt, if there's one overarching theme here to this year's draft class, and this is my opinion, I think they drafted guys that, I don't know if we want to call them smart, but certainly they exude that confidence and they speak well, and it's got that kind of leadership that they're coming out with. And more specific here, the question being about Bishop, the safety, because that is a position we know in Sean McDermott's defense. It can be a little complicated. So what kind of timeline do you put for Bishop here in terms of when we might kind of see? Does he have that opportunity perhaps to take that job week one? And your thoughts overall, on where would he be the better fit, free or strong safety?
So I think the baseline where he's going to enter training camp is as that third safety. I think he's probably going to run on the second team during camp and then maybe early in preseason, see how he handles everything. And listen, in this defense now, that third safety is very valuable. I mean, I think going into the draft, we probably had Cam Lewis pegged as that guy before they added somebody. But now I think Bishop could be really intriguing in that role because of his ability around the line of scrimmage. And that's what they asked Jordan Poyer to be, almost like more of a hybrid linebacker last year. A lot of scouts writing up his evaluation, I think it was Nate Tice from The Athletic, said that he was so good in that robber role when they can kind of let him and unleash him around the line of scrimmage and cause some chaos. I think that could be the baseline. But what I think the Bills probably are hoping to happen is that he wins one of those jobs. Now, I think he probably... 2020-2021 Jordan Poyer is probably the better comp, and maybe he comes in here to try to, you know, win the free safety job and then have, but I also think Taylor Rapp probably fits best into that slot, and Edwards on the deep part of the field. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, how they view all three of those skill sets, and how Lewis, who, you know, I know I'm a UB honk, but like he's kind of like always in the mix, right? Like he's sneaky, always available. Whenever there's an injury, he gets put in. He plays pretty well. They like him a lot. They brought him back on a 2-year deal. So the safety competition is going to be really intriguing no matter how this thing kind of plays out.
The backfield for the Buffalo Bills got a little bit of an injection with Ray Davis in the fourth round, the running back out of Kentucky, who it appears has a very similar skill set to what the Bills already have in James Cook. So if you're somebody that was thinking that you needed a compliment for James Cook, a between the tackles guy, I mean, it doesn't appear like this offense is really going after that. More so that when you're in a short yardage situation, when you have a quarterback like Josh Allen and you've kind of perfected the tush push, maybe you want to stock up on more guys like James Cook. And apparently that's what the Bills have here in Davis. Your thoughts?
Yeah. And I think that he is a little bit more, known for his ability to run in between the tackles. Like, you know, James Cook, he was actually better than I thought he would be in year two running between the tackles. But one of the things that scouts like about Davis is his vision, hitting the hole, finding the hole, and exploding into the hole. You know, Cook did a lot of his damage on a lot of those zone wide runs last year, where I think Cook gives you a little bit of a different skill set. I don't think he's as elusive, and maybe while his game is similar in that he can catch the ball out of the backfield, I think he's pretty good as a blocker and can and run in a couple of different ways. You know, he's going to be more of the guy that kind of comes in and probably trends a little bit more like Ty Johnson. I thought Ty Johnson did a great job last year of just being really urgent in the way that he ran the ball. And I think that's what you need when you have like a really talented running back like Cook, who kind of dazzles with his athleticism at times. Like, you need a little bit somebody that can kind of get downhill, and I think that that's what they're hoping Davis to be. And, man, how is it? It's impossible not to love this kid's story. I mean, just hearing him talk and the way that, you know, how he had to kind of, you know, overcome so much adversity as a young kid and, you know, going to three different schools, figuring out his situation in all three stops and just absolutely blowing the doors off the record books. It's impressive stuff. And I think he comes in here as, to your point that you made earlier, like an older, kind of mature player that comes in almost ready-made for the NFL. And they lost Latavius Murray last year. And I think at the very least, you probably figure like, okay, maybe you lose Latavius Murray's leadership, but you really upgrade in terms of the player. Now you have three guys that I think you're really comfortable with putting the ball in their hands.
We're talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard. Our guest here is the Bills end up with the 10 picks in this draft, Matt. And just my question here, like, is it like, where is the line? Because I would say Coleman, Bishop, Carter, Davis, Van Pran, Granger. I would say kind of likely that they're going to find their way here to the 53. Beyond that, what's your thoughts on the last five picks here being Olofaccio, as I'm trying to learn to pronounce his name correctly, Solomon, Grable, Hardy, and then we know that Travis Clayton is a project with a capital P.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think Grable, to me, is the guy that probably has the toughest road to a roster spot. Not saying that it's impossible, but he's a raw kid. He's only been playing offensive line for a couple years, and obviously the UK kid, that he can kind of be on the Christian Wade plan, and you don't have to worry about how it affects the roster. I think there's a spot for Olofaccio. I think, you know, Tyler Matkevich isn't here anymore. I think Olofaccio, early on in his career especially, is going to be on the Tyrell Dotson plan, where he is going to be groomed into one of their special teams regulars. He plays super fast, high engine, all gas, no brakes. So I think there's a spot for that. Solomon is interesting because he projects it very similarly to some of the guys that they've started to kind of use over the last couple of years, like Leonard Floyd, Von Miller, some of the more bendy, athletic edge rushers that they haven't typically gone after in years past. So I think that there's a chance for him to make the roster. His main competition right now, as you look at this thing, is Kingsley Jonathan, who has the advantage because, you know, he's been in this defense now. This is going to be his third season. He's had reps, valuable reps. They've given him opportunities in the past, and he's played well. So could he make the roster? Yeah, I'd probably put him as after Grable, the other guy that's going to have to really earn it. But really on the defensive line, I mean, they don't have a lot of depth right now, at least proven depth, that I think that makes it impossible for any of these guys to earn a roster spot. I mean, even Dwayne Carter, I know they added those two defensive tackles. I mean, I instantly put him above Austin Johnson and the tackle from Denver. And so we'll see how it all plays out. And again, it's like wide receiver. I'm not ruling out any additions over the next couple of weeks on the defensive line or in the wide receiver room, because it just doesn't feel like he's done yet.
Matt, let's talk about some of these undrafted free agents, notably Frank Gore Jr. Out of Southern Miss, and of course the son of former Bills running back Frank Gordy. Give any of these guys a chance? I mean, we'll see him at camp most likely. Any of these guys a chance of latching on here?
Probably not. I think that depending on where this thing goes, there's still surprising depth. I think like corner is the place that I probably look at, and right now Jamarcus Ingram is probably looking at a roster spot unless somebody, you know, beats him out. And the kid out of Penn State, Hardy, he's more of a slot corner. So if they need a fourth boundary guy, like that could be the spot that they go to looking at UDFAs or maybe somebody that's not even on the roster. I mean, listen, Sean McDermott every single year has been fine adding in Josh Norman as number four CB. So if he still wants to play some football, who knows if they'll pick up the phone for him. But yeah, Frank Gore Jr., super cool story. I don't see a path to the roster, but I think Bean and Gore Sr.'s relationship could very easily keep him in Buffalo on the practice squad.
Matt, outside of Buffalo, AFC, anybody, any other teams that you like their draft?
Yeah, I think the Dolphins did a good job addressing what I thought was their biggest position of need. And I know a lot of people sit there and be like, well, wait a second. They have Shaq Barrett they brought in. They have Jalen Phillips. They have Bradley Chubb. But, man, if you told me that Bradley Chubb is never going to be the same again after this injury at his age, I'd believe you. And so I think that for a defense that kind of is underperformed since Tyreek Hill got there, it's they lose Xavier Howard, they lose Andrew Van Ginkle. Like, they have to replenish things. So they go out and they get Ad Chop Robinson. We'll see what that looks like in year one. They came back with another edge rusher later in the draft, too. Like, his name is escaping me. But I think Miami is solidly on the same wavelength as the Bills, and I still have the Jets as a little bit of a distant third. And I know that that's not a popular take. I mean, people just love buying this Aaron Rodgers Jet stock. I've not loved their offseason. Like, I don't like the one thing I will say I liked is I liked that they went out and they got a tackle in the first round, because I don't believe for one second that Morgan Moses his name just gave me the Tyron.
From Dallas. I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about. They're not going to hold up. And somebody's going to miss some time. I think the left tackle is going to miss the first four games. And so, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers is coming off this injury, and are we to believe that even with more talent around him, if that is even necessarily the case? I mean, Mike Williams probably not going to be the same guy this year coming off of that injury. I just don't see it. He wasn't good his last year in Green Bay, and that's why I was not bullish on this thing being a success last year. The Patriots are going to be better, but it all comes down to what does Drake May? Can he be the C.J. Stroud of this class, or is he going to look like Bryce Young? So we'll wait and see. I still think the division is there to be won for the Bills for the fifth straight year, but Miami is going to continue to be a problem, and I do think the Jets will be better. I think that they'll probably attack 10 wins. We'll see how things play on the division, and they play the Bills tough, which forces you to take them seriously.
Matt, just a quick one. Are the Buffalo Bills, from a roster standpoint, more talented this year than they were last year at this time?
No. I don't think that they're more talented. I think that that roster last year, especially on the offense and defensive lines, were better, were deeper, were stronger. So I don't think I could say that. But also, there's a lot of unknown, too. Like,
it's just that they're younger. They're younger. I mean, more than anything, I just feel like they're younger.
Yeah, they're younger. It's a transition in the sense that this offense is really going to take on the identity of the quarterback more than ever before. Like, there's not this weird dynamic that's been kind of under the radar for the last 2 years with Diggs. That's completely gone. And so now it's almost like you have this empty canvas if you're Joe Brady and Josh Allen. I don't know if it'll ever come out, but I'd love to know Ken Dorsey's thoughts on how things went off the rails last year and how much Diggs maybe had a role in it. You know, just because I sit here still a month after the Bills traded Stephon Diggs, eating this $31 million, I know that they're going to save a ton next year, and just really wondering what was really the final nail in the coffin of that whole thing. And so I think that there's some excitement in being able to reimagine this offense a little bit. There's a bunch of new flavors on offense in terms of the playmakers. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I mean, is there a guy in this league that has proven that he can get more out of less on the defensive side of the ball than Sean McDermott has? I mean, the Terrell Bernard is just the latest example in a long line of success stories, in guys that they draft, guys that they bring in. So I still think they're going to be super competitive. I just don't think they're as talented roster-wise as they were a year ago.
So, Matt, the draft is in the books. What's coming up here? We can go check out Syracuse.com. Also, certainly the Shout podcast.
Yeah, we got a show Wednesday. We'll do our first kind of deep dive post-draft, get into all of the different projections. We'll take a look at, this wide receiver room, like what are our expectations over the spring here? And then next week, before you know it, rookie minicamps here. We'll be off to the races on our way to the break before come back down to Pittsford. Hang out with my buddies.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Appreciate the time as always, Matt, and looking forward to more of the coverage here through the course of the off season. Doing a great job at the Syracuse Post Standard, and we appreciate the Shout podcast as well. Let's do it again next week, bud.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There Thanks, he is. Matt.
Matt Parrino. You can read his work at Syracuse.com. You can hear his work on the Shout podcast with Ryan Talbot. They're doing a great job tracking this team down.
Yeah, for anybody that says, oh, who cares about the schedule coming out? You have to play all these teams anyways. It's a younger team. It's kind of going to be a lot of new parts on both sides. Do you want to open up against a little soft opening? Say maybe the Patriots and the Jets? Or do you want Kansas City and San Francisco back-to-back? Like, how will the NFL kind of... Will they ease the Bills into this, or are they going to put them on notice right away?
Well, the feeling I've gotten, and our guy Sal in Buffalo at WGR has done a great job every year. He talks to the schedule guy from the NFL North, right? And it sounds like the Bills are going to have their fair share of primetime games once again. That the Bills are good for primetime. That Josh Allen gets eyeballs, and if you're a traditionalist who wishes that the Bills would have more Sunday 1 o'clock games, you may be disappointed when that schedule does actually release.
No. As long as you have Josh Allen, it's going to be a lot of primetime games, a lot of flexing. You do it right off the bat because the Buffalo-Houston matchup is so tasty, yeah. Danger. That feels like Monday Night Football week one, does yeah. it not again? And you if you put it later in the year, you run the risk of maybe not both guys being available for the game. So, yeah, that would have a lot of interest week one.
We got some takes on tap next. We'll dive in a little bit more into some of the action tonight. I mean, both the NBA and NHL postseasons drive on, and we've got teams with a chance to advance in the playoffs, both the NBA and the NHL tonight. We'll get into that and more next.
Yeah, I got a few takes here. And since we are a sports talk show, I guess we're obligated to talk about the Lakers. But it's more like there's so many funny things that come out of this.
866-4326 is our phone number if you want to pull up a stool. Join us at 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.